The chapter. But first, Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. And the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And then we go to John 14. And we'll pick it up at verse 19. Jesus is speaking here the night before his crucifixion to his disciples. A little while longer, he says, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to our minds and hearts, just the reading of his word. Our text is verse 27, where we read the Lord Jesus say, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This morning, dear congregation belonging to Christ, as we may have a special Lord's Day, also in commemoration and celebration of the Lord Jesus at the table, we want to think about the gift of God's peace to us in and through Jesus Christ. Listen to these words that Jesus spoke the night before his crucifixion. Very special words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. The word for peace here, beloved, refers not just to the absence of conflicts and trouble, but it speaks of complete rest of mind and heart in reconciliation with God and with others. It tells of calmness of hope and sure comfort in all circumstances. The New Testament word for peace builds on the Old Testament word for peace, shalom, which refers to divinely given wholeness and fullness of life in every circumstance, in life or death even, in all our relations, in all our situations. Peace refers here not just to absence of anything negative and threatening in life, but the reality of everything positive and promising in our life, regardless what storms we may go through. How many people are searching for this wholeness and fullness of peace, but never find it because they won't turn to the God of the Bible, revealing to us the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners. Just a couple of weeks ago, I received an email from someone who told me she's going on a pilgrimage in Europe in search for peace. Let me quote just a few lines from her email. "I'll be leaving shortly for France and Spain. Not sure if you ever heard of it, but I'm planning to hike part of the El Camino, at least part of it, an 800-kilometer trek to Santiago. It is called," she writes, "a pilgrimage, and there are lots of them in Europe. Maybe someday I'll tell you why, although I'm not sure why myself. I thought I knew why when I made the decision to do it, but I don't really know why. I do not have a return ticket, because that way I'm free to take as long as I need and not feel pressured by a return flight." I found the email actually very sad, because it's a pilgrimage in search for peace, true peace, but apart from God, as revealed in Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Sadly, too many in all generations also teach and preach peace, peace, being false prophets, always promoting this or that of ourselves or of themselves or something of this world, as if that can give us peace, real peace. But always and again, you know this, don't you? True peace with God and man, and real peace in both life and death, eludes and escapes us all, left to ourselves. True peace for anyone here on earth, apart from trusting Christ, is always but an empty hope. It's a disappointing mirage, a vain pursuit. At best, mankind can only bring about some temporary truce, a little oasis out of the maddening pursuit for peace, but can never offer any lasting refuge of everlasting peace. I read this week, someone wrote, "Peace is that glorious moment in history when everyone stops to reload. Peace is that glorious moment in history when everyone stops to reload." And we read Paul say thus in 1 Thessalonians 3, when they say, and he means the wicked and unbelieving, "Peace and safety," then sudden destruction comes upon them. You see, congregation, ever since the fall into sin, as told in Genesis 3, there simply is no peace to be found here on earth for us, except God make and provide a way. And this is the gospel word of word and sacrament here today. God has provided a way of true eternal peace. And it is wonderful beyond words. We now today get to hear and to witness the gospel of true and everlasting peace from God our Savior. Listen again, therefore, to Jesus' words in John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's just reflect on this verse. Under the sermon theme, God's gift of peace in and through Jesus Christ, so priceless, so powerful, and precious. What Jesus says to his disciples in our text is so priceless. When you think of it, it's like his parting legacy for his people, for as many as repent of sin and trust and follow him and his word. When he says, peace I leave with you, the word leave is the same word for forgiveness. He takes our sins and he leaves for us his peace. This peace that Jesus gives is his unique, priceless gift for all who repent and trust him. You know, with our fall into sin, we have lost peace with God. You know that, don't you? That we of ourselves live and die in enmity with God and with our neighbor. But Jesus came to obtain and purchase peace with God on behalf of sinners and to give that peace from God to all who trust and follow him. Jesus, through his shed blood and once for all sacrifice, has opened the way for the everlasting forgiveness of sins and the eternal peace with God from him. With Jesus Christ, by grace through faith in him, sinners like us, you and I, may find peace of conscience in and through Christ's atoning salvation work on the cross, and peace of heart by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, applying God's peace from Jesus Christ in our minds and hearts. How many are the texts proclaiming this gospel truth? Think, for instance, of Romans 5, verse 1. There Paul declares, for the comfort of all true believers, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the meaning is that God is no longer against us when Jesus is our trust and hope. For Christ has removed once for all the guilt and the condemnation of our sins and sinfulness through his perfect person and work as Savior, as crucified and risen Redeemer. There is that perfect peace that with God once for all obtained for sinners like us. Yes, by Jesus' atonement for sin as sin bearer and substitute for sinners, accomplished on the cross of Calvary. At the same time, God in Christ, by his Spirit and Word, he seeks to minister this peace to his people. Here, think of a verse like Philippians 4, verse 7, where Paul says to God's praying people, in the midst of many storms, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We can say too, can't we, with the sacrament of Lord's Supper, the triune God is out to minister assurance of his everlasting peace for all who confess him as their only refuge and their only Savior. When Jesus came to this earth, you know the angels proclaimed, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Luke 2:14. Among Jesus' first words as resurrected Savior to his disciples, we read in John 20, verse 19 to 21, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you. And when he said this, you know what? He showed them his hands, his nail-pierced hands, and his side. Jesus was saying and showing to them, there's peace with me. So we read further, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. For as Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, as the elder of service also read, he himself is our peace. Not only our one and only means of peace with God, but peace also with one another. And peace in all situations. In the Ephesian passage, Paul emphasizes, in fact, how enmity between Jew and Gentile is removed through Christ, who reconciles them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. True Christians are those, congregation, who have learned and who keep learning. By God's grace and Spirit, true peace is found for us here on earth only in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Do you know this? Do you need this peace? Do you love and long for more and more of this peace from our Savior God in every way, as freely given to his own? That peace with God and peace with others and peace in all circumstances of life. Even as you confess Christ today as your only Savior and Lord, he pledges to you with word and sacrament his peace. This peace of God, most priceless indeed. J.C. Ryle says beautifully in this regard, and I quote, "Peace is Christ's peculiar, or you might say priceless, gift. Not money, not worldly ease, not temporal prosperity. These are at best very questionable possessions. They often do more harm than good to the soul. They act as clogs and weights to our spiritual life. Inward peace of conscience, arising from a sense of pardoned sin and reconciliation to God, is a far greater blessing. And this blessing," he writes, "is the property of believers, whether high or low, rich or poor. The peace which Christ gives, he calls my peace. It is especially his own to give. Because, yes, he bought it by his own blood. He purchased it by his own substitution and is appointed by the Father to dispense it to a perishing world. Just like Joseph in the Old Testament was appointed by Pharaoh to dispense the bread stored in Egypt. So Christ is commissioned in the councils of the eternal Trinity to give peace to mankind." However, in life's journey, isn't it true, even as Christians, we can lose sight of this peace, can't we? We can lose sight of it. This peace Christ accomplished and is so ever ready to give to his people. We can miss it. We can cry out for it. Well, the Lord's Supper was instituted by the Lord Jesus, who knows our frame, who remembers we are dust. It was instituted by him the same night as he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." He instituted it in love and care for people like us to reinforce this gospel promise with divine sign and seal. Jesus endured in the sinner's place the wrath of God for sin that we deserve. He suffered the enmity of men against himself. He suffered being left forsaken in the storms of life as sin bearer. That whoever trusts and follows him might have true and everlasting peace, that peace of God which passes understanding. No matter what sinners we are and have been in ourselves, and what storms we face or still face in our lives. We read Psalm 29 also for this reason, congregation, because that psalm so beautifully portrays and tells of the Lord God being over and above all the storms of life and keeping his people in the midst of storms, giving his strength and his peace to his own. Wonderfully, that last verse of that psalm declares, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." And we see that climactically fulfilled now in the New Testament age here in John 14:27, where the Savior, God incarnate, says to his disciples, this verse remembering and coming back to again and again, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Congregation, this verse teaches us about God's gift of peace in and through Christ, his gift so priceless, but so powerful too. And to learn how powerful it is, our second point, we need to consider more some of the context of this verse. Just notice here with me some noteworthy, splendid gospel details. Notice how in the text passage, clearly the whole Trinity is intimately involved. Jesus makes, you see that in the text, repeated reference to God as his Father, even as he was giving his life a ransom for many. God the Father gave his Son for this gospel purpose, and Jesus tells us how he and the Father were one and together with him going to the cross, sinners like us, to save. In the last five verses of John 14, Jesus speaks of his Father four times, and in the whole chapter, at least 22 times. It's a very unique chapter in that regard. Jesus' salvation work, we can know from this, is God-commissioned and God-approved beyond measure. Be sure to understand, Jesus never made God the Father loving to save sinners like us. But God the Father, in love for sinners like us, sent his only begotten beloved Son to save such as we. That those hopelessly without peace of themselves might find the everlasting peace of God and with God in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. On the same line, don't we find God, the Holy Spirit, mentioned all throughout John 14 and beyond. Notice, Jesus says in our text, in fact, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, in view of the promised Holy Spirit Comforter, whom he and the Father would send after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. The Spirit is the divine agent of the peace of God for us. The glorious purpose and ministry of the Holy Spirit is always to remind us of Christ and all his person and work as mediator between God and man, through whom we may find peace. The Holy Spirit is called by Jesus the other divine comforter, the other divine helper, who together with the Father and the Son makes known the full gospel to our minds and hearts, ever pointing all who trust and follow him to Christ and his all-sufficiency as the endless, gracious provider of true and eternal peace for us with Christ's once-for-all sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. How powerfully is this peace with God and of God given to us in and through Jesus Christ from God the Father and by God the Holy Spirit. I tell you, in Jesus' name, no one can take that triune God provided peace away from us for all who repent of sin and trust and follow this Savior. With word and sacrament, the triune God will sign and seal this delightful truth to his people about his peace for us in Christ. And again, congregation, in the midst of feeling sometimes so little peace as can be the reality, can't it? Seeing yourself as a sinner and facing the battles you still do and considering the circumstances you may be in. Yet how good to be reassured of God's gift of peace for us in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Another detail in the context of John 14, 27, showing this powerful peace, is what we read Jesus say in verse 30. Jesus shares there with his disciples, he would no longer talk much with them, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And the ruler of the world refers, of course, to Satan, that ancient foe, you know, who was instrumental in bringing Adam and Eve and the whole human race into the ruin and doom of sin. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And now as Jesus was about to give his ultimate victorious righteous offering for sin, making full atonement for sin on behalf of his people, and so going to the cross to be crucified in the sinner's place, we are told by Jesus, the Savior was also getting ready for his last, Satan was also getting ready at the same time for his last devilish assaults against his Jesus. But Jesus declares in that context, notice this, Satan would find nothing in him. In other words, nothing to spoil the salvation plan and accomplishments of God triune, sinners like us to save, can ever be found. No way. Jesus would be and remain, we know, completely without sin. And he would give his life as a perfect payment for sin, as the just for the unjust. And even with Satan's mad, relentless assaults against Jesus, especially also in Gethsemane and Golgotha, it would all only serve to highlight the Savior's perfect, once-for-all redemption, as God planned already in eternity past. Beloved congregation, do you see it with me how comforting to know that never will there be in the end found some flaw in Jesus' person and work, somehow discounting and discrediting him as Savior? No. Don't you too prize these words about Jesus then concerning the devil? He has nothing in me. Hallelujah! For this means Jesus and his salvation work is absolutely sure. And the God's gift of peace legacy he gives to his people cannot be trifled with, cannot be discounted in any way. It's guaranteed beyond measure. Jesus' resurrection and ascension also confirms this without a shadow of a doubt. The peace he has obtained for his people. And then there's one more detail in the context, so highlighting God's gift of peace, so powerful in and through Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus' testimony of his love to his Father and his steadfast resolve to do as the Father gave him commandment to do, even when it meant going through hell, as it were. And this refers to Jesus giving his life even to the death on the cross. Never can we rightly fathom what that meant. What punishment, what agonies he went through. But Jesus gladly did so in love to his Father and in tender care for sinners like us. Why? That we might be reconciled to God and know his everlasting peace. When Jesus therefore says in the last sentence of John 14 to his disciples, "Arise, let us go from here," he was saying, "I'm ready. I am ready to give my life a ransom for many, that God's peace may abound for all who repent of sin and trust in me." Jesus was willing, you see, to go through even the untold agonies of hell in soul and body that he suffered on the cross, that his people, sinners like you and me, might find and know and enjoy his everlasting peace in body and soul, in life and death, and even forevermore. Doesn't this attract you to Jesus and make you love that peace he's out to give? Or are you a stranger to Christ still, not truly seeing your need of him, guilty and depraved sinner as you are in yourself? Are you therefore also refusing still to entrust yourself wholly to this Jesus in faith and repentance, in whom alone is found our salvation from start to finish? Let me remind you, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked and unbelieving. Listen to what we read in the last two verses of Isaiah 57. Isaiah is the so-called gospel book of the Old Testament, but it is faithful also. While it speaks of comfort for believers, it also tells of how there's no hope for unbelievers. We read in those two verses, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." The world may speak of peace, but they do so as armed to the teeth, and those who themselves are without peace. In Psalm 28, verse 3, the believer prays to God thus, saying, "Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who seek peace to their neighbors, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts." Congregation, the same Bible warns how for the wicked the day will come, especially the last judgment day, when destruction comes, and they will seek peace, but there shall be none. Ezekiel 7:25. Today is the day of peace offering. But then will be no more. What reason, therefore, for all of us who are present here today to trust and follow the Savior as made known in our text, John 14, 27. The Savior God who comes with this free offer of his gift of peace in and through Christ. With this peace so priceless, so powerful, and so precious too. As we shall see, will you turn and submit to him today? You don't need to go on a pilgrimage to do anything or do anything to earn this gift, but humbly to receive it as poor and needy sinner, turning from sin and holding your empty, defiled hand and heart to him for his mercy. What reasons to pay attention also to this splendid gospel offer, considering what Jesus further says in our text. And here we come to the thought, it's also such a precious gift. And we see that with the two additional statements in the verse about this gift of peace. What does the whole verse say again? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When Jesus says his gift of peace is not like the world's offer of peace, he means, among other things, my offer of peace is absolutely gracious and genuine and guaranteed. And it lasts forever. For it is only always found in me and with me. As one put it, what Jesus gives, his gift of peace, the world cannot give at all. And what he gives is given neither unwillingly, nor sparingly, nor fraudulently, nor temporarily, just for a time. And then when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid, what he's saying there is, regardless of what you may face and have to deal with from within and from outside and around you, you can so count on my gift of peace. It will never fail you. It will always uphold you. It will bless you, no matter what the future may hold. Dear congregation, there's no doubt about it. We live in fearful times. What the Bible also calls the perilous last days. And looking within us, and looking around us, there's constant reason to fret and to fear, isn't there? But looking to Jesus and abiding in him and his word, you and I may find the gift of God's peace in and through him. Yes, his precious peace, in spite of ourselves and regardless of our circumstances and sins, and never mind this turbulent world and the raging devil still. For Jesus has obtained everlasting, enduring peace for sinners like us. A peace that no one and nothing can ever take away. And with this peace of God that he offers, the Lord at Lord's Supper, he wants us to be persuaded of it and participant in it in joy. And so to come to the table in remembrance of him and his once for all sacrifice by which our peace is obtained and guaranteed. We will see this afternoon in our post-communion service, our Thanksgiving service, how God calls those who look to him for his peace to be also peacemakers in this world of sin and misery still. May God bless word and sacrament to this end, that we glory in Christ the peacemaker, and that through him we be peacemakers in our world of so much restlessness and hopelessness still. So listen to this text and our theme then one more time, telling of God's gift of peace in Christ Jesus. This peace so priceless, powerful, and precious. Jesus says what in John 14, 27? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen.